Jesus is. Oh, let's sing about it. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Heavens and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Is. Heavens and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Let's stand tonight. Sing it again. Oh, what a mighty God. God. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Well, He let us be back in the house of the Lord tonight. And I certainly appreciate that, don't you? Amen. Isn't it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord? Why don't you take just a minute, turn around, shake somebody's hand, ask them who they are. Matter of fact, you might want to tell them who they are and ask them who you are. Praise the Lord. Oh, go ahead and shake hands. It's all right. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Well, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Amen. That's the truth. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Why don't you give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight? You love Him for this privilege to be in His house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it seems like it's been a long time since we've been here. And just so you'll know, I've missed every one of you. Not Greg that much, but for most of you, I've missed every one of you. And I know you've missed each other. This is our life. This is why we exist. To serve the Lord and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Isn't it a tremendous privilege to be able to come to a place that you know you're going to hear truth. And you know that the Spirit of the Lord is going to be there. That should mean everything in the world to every one of us. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We've got several prayer requests. We'll let you know about those. Brother Brad Yance, I want you to get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight. You may have a word of about your trip to Honduras. I guess that's where you all were at. Nicaragua, that's where y'all were at. So you may want to tell us just a little bit about that tonight. I want to pray for Mr. Richard. He's asked for prayer. They had a death in the family and just a lot of complications after that, that Satan is warring against them. And he just asked that we would remember him in prayer, that the Lord would just have his way in his life. And let's just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Pray for a Mr. Richard. Here's a special prayer request for my granddaughter Shay and her husband Mark. She asks that the church pray about a special need for her family. She is a believer in prayer. Sister Jordan sends that in. Brother Jim Hughes sends this in for a co-worker's mother. Just found out she has lung cancer. Mother's name is Linda Dickerson. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Commit that unto the Lord. Brother Tracy's in the Appalachian Christian Nursing Home. He has been diagnosed with cancer, but he's trusting God for his healing. So we just want to continue to pray for our brother Tracy, that the Lord would be mindful of him. I want to pray for brother and sister King. They slid down their driveway on a hill today, and their car went across the road, came to rest in a field. They want to thank God for watching over them in a very dangerous situation. So we praise the Lord for that, don't we? Amen. Brother Keith Phillips, very special unspoken request. The Lord knows all about it. We'll just commit that to the Lord. This was sent in from Brother Kevin Kitchen. And I believe this prayer request was on Saturday, January the 25th. But I would like to thank you for your prayers during my mom's sickness and all the kind thoughts. My mom crossed over Jordan about 8 p.m. last night. I'm thankful to our Lord for giving me a mom that would take me to church, and for being a great example and influence in my life. 6 months ago, my son went home, and now my mom. The grief is so heavy, but the grace and peace of God has been there, and the great comforter has been just what he said. The Lord has laid something on my heart to do. Please help me pray for his guidance and strength. I love you all in Christ. Thank you again, Brother Kevin Kitchen. So we just commit that need unto the Lord and remember him as that family at the loss of their mother. I want to pray for my cousin, dear friend, Pat Sumner. She's not doing good right now health-wise. She really needs prayer. Cheyenne Sumner sends that in. Brother Tony Wheaton sends this in. Dear saints, please pray for my mother-in-law who has stomach problems and my father-in-law who has prostate trouble. He's hoping that God will heal both of them very soon before their situations get worse. Thank you, and may God bless you. So let's commit those needs unto the Lord. I would like for the church to pray for a dear friend of mine that has had surgery and is in need of prayer. Nadine Finch sends that in. Brother Al Stevens sends this in to please pray for our assistant pastor's mother, Jean, who has been in the hospital and also some nursing homes for several months. She's having breathing problems and it's not improving. She is Catholic. She just needs an experience with the Lord. Also pray for a neighbor's dad who is 79, recently discovered cancer in both lungs and lymph nodes. Also needs an experience with the Lord. So let's commit those needs unto our Lord tonight. Pray for Zoe Roncalli. She has been sick for a week. Also pray for my sister Becky. She will be taking her nursing board. So let's commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Brother Chuck Dixon says to please pray for Tammy Dixon's father, Ernest Oliver. He's in the hospital in Louisiana with congestive heart failure and is in need of much prayer. So we want to remember that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. A couple of three announcements. Let me go ahead and make those tonight. Now, the blood drive, they're going to be doing another one here at the Church Fellowship Hall. That'll be on February the 20th. Sign-up sheets are in the library. They were so pleased with the results from the first one that they had. They want some more of your blood. And y'all stepped up and done a real good job, and it's a very worthy cause. So remember that February the 20th, the sign-up sheet is over in the library. Also, remind everyone to be careful tonight after the service. Going to their vehicles, there will be certain spots of black ice. So please remember that as you leave the service tonight. Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ Youth Banquet 2014. Step out of the boat. Sound like they might have heard a message somewhere in regard to that. Friday, March the 28th at 6 o'clock p.m. in the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ Fellowship Hall. There's going to be a lot of things going on for you. Ages, singles 13 and up must be 13 as of 3/28/2014. All these other details that you'll need to know are on this sheet, and you can pick those. It's a registration form, but that's going to be happening on March the 28th at 6 o'clock. So remember that. Well, we've got a lot to look forward to. Even tonight, we've got a lot to look forward to. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Could we stand tonight? Let's just sing that little chorus together one more time before Brother Terry comes, or actually Brother Brad's going to come lead us in prayer tonight. What a mighty God Jesus is. Church, don't ever forget that. He is a very mighty God. He's got every situation that you'll ever face in the palms of His hand. And He can take care of you like nobody else can. Do you believe that tonight? Where are your minds at tonight? Do you believe that tonight? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, let's have church here tonight. Amen. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God our Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. What a mighty God our Jesus is. Brother Brad, God bless you tonight. Let's join our brother in prayer tonight as we pray. Bless you,
baby. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's good to be back in the United States. I know we were gone 16 days, just me and Sarah, and ain't nothing like this place. You don't know what you got till you go somewhere and see what else somebody don't have. We had some wonderful meetings. Brother Darrell, Brother Lindsay McGrady, a couple other brothers we had met from out west. Excellent job. We've seen some young people that loves to worship the Lord. But let's take these requests to God. How many believes that He can do answer every one of these? Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for another opportunity we have to come here in Your house, Lord. Father, we know that You are in control of every situation. Lord, we pray these requests that was read, Lord, You know each one. We can't remember all, but God, You know every one of them. We, Father, pray that You just move. You said by Your stripes that we were healed. Father, take each one and heal them, Father. Lord, the hands that was raised, You know the need that was behind each hand. Father, move according to Your perfect divine will. Father, we pray may You be with this service tonight, Lord. Anoint the congregation singing, the special singing. Most of all, anoint Brother Donnie, Father, as he comes out. May the Holy Ghost just come and speak through us. Give us things for our journey, Lord. We just careful and give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Brad. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering You give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we want to welcome each and every one of you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service tonight, I'm sure it's going to be a blessing for those folks as well. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight. Until then, my heart will go right on singing. Amen. Are you going to help me sing tonight? Are you going to help me create a real good atmosphere in here tonight? All right. 15 of us is going to have church. The rest of you enjoy watching, okay? Probably a little bit low. Let's get, what is that? So until then, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until then, with joy I'll keep. Yes, until then, my heart
A stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart will go. The things of earth that cause our heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go right on singing. Yes, until joy, I'll carry on until the day yes, until the day God calls me home. This old weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife, but the soul of a man, it's like a waiting eagle. When it's released, it's destined for the sky. So until then, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until then, with joy, I'll carry on until the day. Yes, until the day God calls me home.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus tonight. Just tell them I've been redeemed. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. We'll go right on into the service. We're going to have a special tonight. Brother Cockman is here. He's got a song. And we'll go right on into the service tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. My goodness, you've not thawed out, have you? That's the trouble. We've just not thawed out. There'll be a thawing out here in about 30 minutes, so I guarantee it. Amen. Let's sing this song tonight. Just tell them that I've been redeemed. That's the greatest thing anybody could ever say about you. You know, your past will haunt you till the day you die, and Satan will always accuse you, and he's a liar, and we all know that. But I've been redeemed. How about you? I have been redeemed. Have you been redeemed tonight? Amen. I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Anybody ask you just who I am? Somebody say amen. Amen. Brother Andrew, good to see you tonight, buddy. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's enjoy our brother as he sings tonight. Amen. It's good to be here on a Thursday night. Amen. We were just tickled to death when we heard that the service had been canceled and rescheduled. The first part wasn't that great, but the second part was fantastic. So we're glad to be here. It's, I tell you what. God did some molding on me today. I lost my temper. I threw my keys on the ground. I broke my little fob. And I asked for forgiveness. You know what? You think you're doing good. You're out of the muck and the mire. And you're sitting there. You think I look pretty good. But if he looks at you and sees the smallest imperfection, he will absolutely break you up into 100 pieces. Drop you back in the water trough till you're good and soft. Run you through the pug mill until there's no more air bubbles. Wrap you in plastic and sit you in the corner until he's ready to slap you on the wheel again. And so, because if you're not ready, when you get put into that fire, you're going to shatter into 1,000 pieces, and you're going to be so hard there'll be no hope then. But I tell you what, he's not going to do that until he makes you ready. And you think it's a trial now, you're just getting ready for the trials. And he's one of these days, he's going to say, you are ready. You're ready. We're going to sing this song. It's called The Wheel. Well, the potter went down to a snake-filled swamp with a shovel and an empty sack. He stood knee-deep in a cold, dark pond where the water lay still and black. Then he drove his hands in the stagnant mire and he dragged me from the ground. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. Well, the potter's shop is filled with lots of vessels ready for the fire. They can't get wet, cause the glaze done set and they're sitting up high and dry. Well, now I'll admit I ain't there yet, but please don't be putting me down. Don't put me down. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. Well, he tells me he's got big plans for me. A vessel of honor in the house of the king. In a still small voice he speaks to me as he works this old clay down. He's got one hand on the outside,
One hand on the inside and his wheel goes around and round. Well, he set me up on the shelf to dry, but he didn't like what he saw. So he broke me up on the hard stone floor, then he swept me in the water trough. But in his good time, he brought me out just a cold, dark, shapeless mound. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. Well, he tells me he's got big plans for me, a vessel of honor in the house of the king. In a still, small voice, he speaks to me as he works this old clay down. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. Yes, he's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round.
Amen.
Well, he tells me he's got big plans for me, a vessel of honor in the house of the king. In a still, small voice, he speaks to me as he works this old clay down. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. Now listen to this. He broke me, well, he set me up on the shelf to dry, but he didn't like what he saw.
Has that happened to you?
Then he broke me up on the hard stone floor and swept me in the water trough. But in his good time, he brought me out just a cold, dark, shapeless mound. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round.
One more time.
He tells me he's got big plans for me, a vessel of honor in the house of the king. In a still small voice, he speaks to me as he works this old clay down. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round.
Praise the Lord. I'm just happy to be the church tonight. I'm just glad you can bring the church to the church. Praise the Lord. I'm glad God saved me to go to church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. There's just two things that confuses me in times like this. It's the folks around the message who believe the millennium is on, and the scientists that say the world's getting warmer. But I don't figure either one of them will be changed by this weather we're having. So we'll just go on and let them believe what they want to believe on. Let's look tonight, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. This is a little bit unusual having church on Thursday night, but I'm kind of glad we're having it.
Amen.
Told the brothers back here before office that the devil keeps doing this to us. We may start having Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Let's speak tonight on character traits of a godly man. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands, their own husbands, in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Praise the Lord. But that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. What a peculiar way to look at marriage. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence. You mean like reverend? The same word as reverend? Like you'd say Reverend Reagan or Reverend Lehman or Reverend so-and-so. The same word? That a woman is supposed to reverence her husband with respect and honor? But you realize now, she lives with this man. And she knows what kind of fellow he is. So she can't reverence him if he's not a reverend. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be able to be back in church tonight, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord. We so appreciate the children of God and their desire to come. I know if they felt like I have, they've been so disappointed that we've not been able to have services. But Lord, we're so thankful that you allowed us to be able to come together tonight. I pray that you'd speak to us, Father. Help us that we can take by the word of God and be what you want us to be. All of us, men, women, boys, and girls. In Jesus' name, amen. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Now, as we're dealing with this, as we said before, part of this, of course, will pertain to the men. Part of it will pertain to all of us. Part of this tonight will pertain to married men. Some of it may not pertain to the single brothers yet. But if they plan on getting married, or if they do get married, then you can store it up and ask God to help you to become that. May I also say that as we look into this tonight, it would be my advice as a pastor to you unmarried sisters that you hear these things and listen to them intently, even though you are not a man, even though you would not be a male, and it might not apply to you in the sense of you doing it. But yet what you want to do is take and listen to what the Word declares and sets forth that a real godly man should be. And set your goal, if you're a single sister, you're unmarried, and you set your goal that this is the kind of man that I want or I will not get married. Now, it's a sad thing to say that many sisters settle for men that are not fit to be their husbands. And many of them know it when they marry them. But it's like they're in desperation and they've got to have a man and they'll settle for some sorry rotten dog that ain't fit to be the husband to a daughter of God, and then they go through hell the rest of their life. And let me say this with respect and as much honor as I can muster. If you marry a man like that and you know it, you have nobody to blame but yourself. But if you do, it's your own choice. Now, certainly there's men that can hide certain parts about themselves. But you remember, sister, God will never let you marry a deceiver as long as you'll pray and ask him to lead you. Now, Paul here, knowing that there would be such an understanding that would be needful, especially on the introduction of Christianity, as it was fixing to counter-usurp, go over the top of every other Greek mythology, all the Roman ways of treating the wives, even in Judaism. So the woman's position is now going to be exalted to a place that had never been before. For those who feel like Christianity puts the woman in a jail, they ought to have been a Jew. They ought to have been a Greek. They ought to have been a Roman. They ought to be a Mohammedan. They ought to be a Sikh or a Jain. Because really Christianity brings a true woman to a real true position of honor and trust. But it does not make that woman, no more than it does the man, to where that they can do anything and everything that they want to do and still maintain a Christian experience with God. Now, they might be able to claim a Christianity by talk, but not by genuine experience. So, you know, when you think of the Spirit of God, of all the things that Paul could have wrote about, Peter could have wrote about, and they would write about marriage, they would write about how to treat your wives, how to treat your children, they would even write about the marriage bed, they would write about things like that. Why? Because it was necessary. It had never been quite said this way before. And they've come to a dispensational change, and the Old Testament didn't even deal with it at all. So they're going to set it forth in the way that must now be heard, not only for them. I realize the majority of Christians today, they have no desire to run their life by the Bible anyway. But we're not the majority of Christians. We want to obey the Word of God, do we not? Now, I believe that every true born-again believer desires for the Lord Jesus to have preeminence in their life. And we know that he sets forth the preeminence on the foundation principles of his own word. This is not what the Baptists say or the Methodists say or what message people say. I want to know what God says about the kind of man I'm supposed to be. I think that every woman here tonight, every daughter of God wants to know, what does God want her to be like? Forget what your mama said. Forget what grandma said. You're not going to stand before grandma on the white throne. Like it or not, your mama's not going to be on the white throne. It's going to be Almighty God. It ain't going to be your pastor. It ain't going to be the deacon. It's not going to be your best friend. It's going to be God. So if I'm going to stand before him, I'm going to know what he's got to say. Now watch, in Paul set this forth in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now the husband is to be the head of the wife in the same way that Christ is the head of the church. So what kind of headship does Christ reflect to the church? How does Christ actually lead the church? Does he lead the church in harshness? Does he lead the church with a domineering type of attitude or a macho type of an attitude in order to prove who he is? He does not. The only reason that the Lord Jesus ever would get harsh with us is because our demeanor and our attitude demand such. He has no desire whatsoever to ever raise his voice to us. He has no desire to ever have any preacher to preach harsh to us. The only reason we even have to have harsh preaching is because of the way we live. Praise the Lord. That's right. And he loves you so much that he will not let us get by with cold and indifferent and worldly ways. He will force us to hear the truth. That's right. But it's not his first way of choosing it. He would rather that we would come together and the Word of God would be able to be preached and things would be uttered from the attribute of God's own heart, which we've heard and seen. I personally believe he would desire for us to even know more about him in that way. And if we could get beyond this, I believe with all of my heart, we would see more of that. Because we look and see when Judas left and whenever Judas turned away from the Lord Jesus, and we see the very heart of God as St. John 14, 15, 16, 17. It's written and it's being written and talked about. It's on the way. It's in the final hours before his life is taken. It's as the room is now being departed by the devil and he's left out with the 11 and they're going on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is where John 14, John 15, John 16. These are the words that are said. What do we see? We don't see the harshness of God. We don't see the wrath of God, the judgment of God, but we see the very heart of God being open to those who are now ready to receive it. I believe we'd see more of that right here in our church if we would come ourselves into that condition. Lord, help me to get all my unbelief out of the way. Get this out of the way, Lord, so you can open your heart and I can hear from your heart. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? But you realize that Christ loved the church so much that he's never harsh to her. Tell me what Jesus has ever done to you that's been mean. Tell me what
what Jesus has ever done to you that was unfitting. Tell me what Jesus has ever done to you as a bride that would make you to where you could actually have a right and a justifiable reason to hate him. None of us can say he's done anything to us in such a way. Now, Paul says in verse 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, he loves the church so much that he counted it more precious than he did his own life. And this is the way a man's supposed to love his wife. Praise the Lord. So he gave up his own life that the bride could live. How many of your brothers are willing to do the same? Now you might be willing to do that if a thief come in was going to knock her in the head. But if you've got something planned for tomorrow and she wants to do this tomorrow, is it as easy to kill what you want or kill the thief? It'd be much easier for us to pull back our trigger and blow away somebody trying to rape our wife or somebody trying to get what they want than it would be for us to give something away that we really want to do. Praise the Lord. Now, if a real man, a godly man, wishes to lead his wife and children, if he has them, in a Christ-like example, he must be faithful to the canon of Scripture by which the very character of Christ is the type by which a man will be able to lead his wife. And that is that he will follow, as Paul says, that Jesus will present the church to himself as a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Can you imagine the years and years just on my life as an individual that it has taken the Spirit of God to achieve this verse just in my life? Can you imagine the accomplishment that the Lord Jesus will make just in me, Donnie Reagan, just one mortal, that he has taken it upon himself, that he will present me to himself without spot. Now you multiply that by hundreds, then multiply it by thousands, then multiply it by tens of thousands, then multiply it by hundreds of thousands, and he's taken it upon himself that each member of his body, his bride, that there would not be so and so and just let this come in and that come in, but it is a personal requirement that he himself entered into the covenant with himself. But the covenant involves you. Oh, glory. That he did not base it upon your faithfulness or my faithfulness. He based it upon himself. He will present me to himself, and he is not going to embarrass himself by presenting himself with junk. He will present himself with a spotless bride, but it will take more than likely my entire life for him to iron out the wrinkles, for him to get out the blemishes. Oh my. But he is so determined. He will not give up on me. You may give up on me. I may give up on myself. But he will not give up on his word. I read today where Brother Branham was talking about Moses and Zipporah. And he said, and they got out there in the desert, I imagine they had some pretty hot times, some pretty rough times, because he said Zipporah was high-tempered, and Moses was too. And he said, brother, if you got a wife that's kind of high-tempered, don't get rid of her. That might be your cross. He said, God, no, that's what you needed. And then he turned around and said, same way with you sisters. It might have been what you needed. Oh, glory. Oh, my. Now what? So Paul likens then the man, the real godly man, that he is the kind of a man that he wants to look at his wife, even with her faults, her failures, her shortcomings, all of that. But he will present her to himself. He will mold it. And remember, because the woman has a choice, the woman has a soul, the man can only do within reasonable power of what the woman will submit. The same way with Christ and the church. The reason the Lord Jesus cannot make out of the church what he wants to make out of them out there is because they will not submit. And he can only make out of you and I what we will submit, no matter how much he would want to save us. Paul said he is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Can you imagine? He's the Savior of the whole world, but they don't want a Savior. But I did. Amen. Now watch in verse 28. He said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Can you imagine a man beating up himself? Can you imagine a man using himself for a doormat? Then a man who uses his wife that way don't love her like he loves himself. A man who doesn't look at the needs of his wife, even the desires of his wife, and consider that as important as his own desires, he doesn't love her right. Colossians chapter 3 verse 18. Wives, my goodness, you mean the Bible says this too? Oh, I thought this was all Brother Branham's idea. Well, you mean Paul wrote this too? Paul was one of them old women haters, wasn't he? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That is fit in the Lord. Now, your husband tells you to cut your hair, that ain't fit. Your husband tells you to dress in an ungodly way contrary to Scripture, that ain't fit, and you're not subject to that man in that way. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, why would God inspire a prophet of God to tell the husbands to love their wives and be not bitter against them unless there was a tendency for it to be that way? Now, let me ask you this question. Does the message of the hour that we follow, does it teach us to disrespect our wives and our ladies? Let's take a little journey tonight, shall we? Let's begin in the life story, 1959. But now a good woman is a jewel in a man's crown. She should be honored. Now, not a slut, not a whore, not a sorry thing that won't sweep the floor. Not a sorry woman that won't keep a man's clothes ironed or the kids clean. A good woman. A good woman. My mother's a woman. My wife is. And they're lovely. Now listen to this. I've got thousands of Christian sisters who I highly respect. Thousands. And if he knew you all, he'd add more to it. Thousands who I highly respect. But if they can respect what God made them, a motherhood and a real queen, that's all right. She's one of the best things God could give a man was a wife. Besides salvation, a wife is the best thing if she's a good wife. Now, some men got a wife and they just got a thing. But some men got a good wife and they got the next greatest thing to the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Now, so looking at this, does this sound like a message that would teach us men and young boys to disrespect our wives and to hate women? And despite, is this coming from an egotistical male who has no concept of what femininity is about? And no respect of women? Now there are some knot-headed preachers that have been around this message and are still around it. That teach that their women are to be next right above Fido in the house. But most of those men ain't got no right to even pack a Bible. Much less preach from one. Believe me. You may not believe me tonight, but you will. There's many preachers in this message that shouldn't be more being the pulpit preaching than women. Because they ain't called. Look at their lives. Look at their motives. Look at their objectives for wanting to preach. A real preacher is a gift from God that cannot be impersonated. You don't feel to do it. You don't do it because mama wants you to do it, because your wife wants you to do it. You was ordained from the foundation of the world. Preachers are some of the biggest detriment we've always had since the gospel. That's why Satan uses them. Praise the Lord. Now watch. Brother Bam goes on to say, salvation, a wife is the best thing if she's a good wife. But if she isn't, Solomon said, a good woman is a jewel in a man's crown, but an ornery one, no good. One is water in his blood. Oh my. It's the worst thing that could happen. Now we're talking about a man who had a lot of experience, because he had 1,000 of them. So, I mean, this man knew a lot about women. He knew a lot about concubines and a lot about wives. Praise the Lord. I will take his word for it. So if you got a good wife, brother, you ought to respect her with the highest. So where does this come from that Brother Branham hated women? Where does this come from that the women are to walk so many steps behind the men in this message? It's false doctrine. People who say Brother Branham hated women are liars. And if you say it did, I'll call you a liar to your face if need be. Praise the Lord. Now that's right. He said you should do that. A real woman. Now watch him bring it on down to the children. And children, if you've got a real mother that stays home and tries to take care of you, keeping your clothes clean, sends you to school, teaching you about Jesus, you should honor that sweet old mother with all that's in you. Disrespect, dishonor. Does that sound like somebody teaching disrespect to you? Certainly doesn't to me. You should honor that sweet old mother with all that's in you. You should respect that woman. Yes, sir. Because she's a real mother. Again, look at this. I just left Chicago a few weeks and I come home. Being so tired, I could hardly get up. And at home, bless her heart, you can't turn them down after you get there. Talking about people coming for prayer and all that. You just have to minister to them. We haven't eaten one time in our house. We've been living there 5 years with the shades up. So Brother Branham and his family have lived in this house in Jeffersonville for now 5 years. And they've not eaten one meal with their shades up. Why, people? So they have to drop the shades in order to eat in peace and quiet. Now watch him. Unlike a lot of preachers, which would go into how much they sacrificed and how great they are, and oh, they're this and that and the other. Watch him. My wife. I guess they introduced her here tonight. They was going to. She's 34 years old and almost completely gray. As you notice, if there's any credit to be given to the Branham family, it doesn't come to me. Give it to her. A woman hater? A woman despiser? Praise the Lord, saints. She's the one who stood between me and the door, helping the people, doing all that we can. Bless your heart. May God give her a peace in the kingdom of God. Only a preacher can hardly realize what a preacher's wife goes through. You know what, brother? I'm so glad God gave us a helpmate, aren't you? Yes, sir. A man that's got a good, loyal wife ought to be so true and loyal to her. And she that's got a good husband ought to be the same way. Now notice how a balanced perspective of the message teaches marriage. It's not that the man, and the woman is dirt and trash, and what she says has no go. Her opinion don't matter to nothing. That is not true. Now watch him. He balances this out. There's nothing any more precious outside of salvation. A man that's got a good wife, let me finish this other one, ought to be so true and loyal to her. She's got a good husband, ought to be the same. But look at the world today, how it's in chaos. I have the deepest and highest respects for women. My mother is one. My wife. And I have young daughters. And a woman that keeps her place and is a lady. There is nothing any more precious outside of salvation to our nation. Our nation. Not just the message church. Not just Happy Valley. Not Random Tabernacle. Our nation. You know why our nation's where it's at? Women. And the men have allowed it. Oh my. Nothing more precious outside of salvation to our nation than a real woman. But when it comes to a place to worship women, then you're out of the Bible plan. There's no plan in the Bible for us to worship any woman. Mary or Saint Cecilia or your wife. Praise the Lord. Notice again he says, if there's any praises to be given to the Branham family, give it to the Queen. Praise God. Give it to the Queen. Amen. This is the message I follow. You see, when people pull out the quote of a woman ain't good enough for a bullet, and you know, she's this and that and the other, you understand what they're doing. They're only isolating one here and one there. They ain't got no right hand on the word. No, they ain't preachers. Some of the preachers that I know have left the message and followed this move. Anyway, they couldn't preach herself out of a paper bag to begin with. Well, glory. Look around, friends, this move. What's it about? Liberating the women. It's a women's move. Look at the women writing this on Facebook and that on Facebook. All this other. Don't you see what it is? It's a counter move against you. It's a counter move against you women that are godly. Don't you hold your head in shame. You ought to stand to your feet when you get the opportunity and say, I'm glad to be a woman in this message. I'm glad to be liberated from Jezebel's spirit. Lady, I'll see ya. My, there's any praises to give to the Branham family, give it to the Queen, Mrs. Branham, my wife. 38 years old, gray-headed, standing between me and the public, one of the sweetest women that ever lived. So she's the one to get the credit if there's anybody. Stands on the phones and I see them ring, long distance, 64 calls an hour, day and night. 64 calls an hour. Of course, people was calling him because he was a false prophet, of course. And they wanted this false prophet to pray for him so they'd get better. These bunch of idiots. You mean God answers a false prophet? These people don't know what a false prophet is. Either Brother Branham was a prophet of God or he was Satan himself incarnate in a human body. You'll never see any false prophet doing what this man done. Either he was a prophet of God or he was Satan himself. That's a good one, Lord. Thank you. Woo! See that lovely little voice you hear on the phone when you call up there? That's the doormat. That's the sign of woman, I mean. That's the Queen of the Branham family. And listen to this. And the Queen of my heart. You mean a prophet of God would say something like that? He did. He gave us macho message men an example. Some of you brothers can lift weights and work out. How about working out with these quotes? Come on, let's work out with some of these examples that the prophet, oh, but Brother Donnie, that's so, that's what? That's a real man. That's a godly man. It don't hurt him to acknowledge he needs his wife. It don't hurt him to acknowledge sometimes he makes the wrong decisions and sometimes her decisions are better than his. Ooh-hoo.
Some of you brothers might not have prayed as hard. The snow would have melted today if you'd known this, would you? I sent Brother Jim this sermon title today, and I thought he didn't respond back to my text. I guess he thought, oh, Lord, not again. Oh, my. Brother Ron Spencer texted me today and said, when are you going to let up on us men? My. Notice this. Brother Ben says again, thirsting for life. Greatest thing God gave man outside of salvation was a wife. You mean she's better than a Corvette? Wow! A Bentley? A Lamborghini? Lamborghini, spaghetti, rotatini, all the other enies? She's better than all that put together. She's better than $1 million a year wage if you got a godly wife. There is no value in this world that you can put on her. And this is the respect and honor that God's prophet taught us to have for our wives, my brothers. And the brothers said,
amen.
Now notice how he explains it. She was to comfort him, to help him, to bless him, to console him. And be a real companion to him. Today it's so degraded and demoralized. Why the Hottentots of Africa could come here and teach our women how to live moral. My goodness, you imagine him saying this in 1960. What do you say now? Now this is what, sisters, if you want this kind of honor and respect, this is what you're supposed to do to gain it. You're there to encourage your husband. You're there to help him. To be a resemblance of a submissive wife. You may not always agree with him. It doesn't mean because you're in the place of submission that you always agree. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. That's right. You're always 100% right. God told you not to lie. Your husband is not always going to be right. But you stand in your position and pray for him. Don't let the devil talk you out of your place because he's out of his. My. Watch this. I was in a real poor home the other night. And the man said, I tell you, I just don't know. Said, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. I looked around. He worked, had a little wife there, just true blue as could be. 4 or 5 little dirty faced kids round on the floor. And I said, boy, you're a millionaire. God's prophet saw a treasury in that home that this man who owned it didn't see. Now watch his response back to Brother Ben. Boy, you're a millionaire. He said, huh? Kentuckian. Huh? Well, Brother Branham, I wouldn't dispute your word. He said, brother, I ain't got a dime. Boy, boy, typical man. Here he has got a claim. But he ain't got no Abraham Lincolns. No George Washingtons. Here is this true blue wife. He is a millionaire. But he ain't got nothing in his wallet. So he's flat broke. Praise the Lord. Well, I see this is going to be one of them amenless nights. What's this? He said, brother, I ain't got a dime. I said, but you've got something that money can't buy. I said, you got a little old wife here that probably hasn't got 2 dresses to her name. And if she did, it's some that somebody gave her. Because a man gets a day's work every now and then. I said, looky here. But she's as loyal can be. There's many a multi-millionaire tonight would give every penny he had to come home to to a wife like that. Like her? With two dresses? And one come from Goodwill and the other come from her sister? And a multi-millionaire would want to come home to a woman like that. He can buy her more dresses, but he can't buy her loyalty. He can't buy her trueness. My brothers, do we know what we have when we have real daughters of God? My sisters, do you know what you have when you have real sons of God? We're millionaires. We are millionaires. And the way men and women have degraded, let me up it a little bit. We are billionaires. If this man was a millionaire, I am a billionaire with my wife. The way women have degraded since this, Brother Dow, we are billionaires. There's many a multi-millionaire tonight would give every penny he had to come home to a wife like that. So let me get this one right. A multi-millionaire which could buy almost anything he would want, and he would give every penny and become a pauper to have this kind of a woman that had nothing. He would trade out getting by barely every day, just making a living and barely getting by and coming home with no great fine furnishings, no great fine home, no great this and that and the other, but recognize what a treasure he had. He'd give it all for that woman. Praise the Lord. And some of you growl and complain because she don't fix her hair exactly like you like it. You don't like this little thing. You got this little quirk about this and that and other. And you're ready to get rid of her. Wake up, boy. I said, wake up, boy. I said, his wife is out there with a bunch of men somewhere. Or in a bar room somewhere. Cussing, singing, smoking. Not riding. Things like that. And yet he loves her. But look what he's got. All of his life is wrapped in that woman. And look the way she's doing. And let me say, it can be the same way with a man. A woman who loves that man with all of her heart. And he can't keep his hands off of other women. Or he can't keep from flirting with this one or that one or the other one. Come on, don't get quiet on me. Watch Brother Bam in 1962. I hope every young man here, when he gets married, he gets him a big bull whip. He gets him a bunch of thumb screws. And let me teach him as a prophet of God how to beat that woman. You bunch of blasphemers on the internet. You bunch of idolatrous blasphemers. Accusing God's prophet of hating women. God will get you. You better repent if you can. I hope that every young man here, when he gets married, he'll get a wife and you'll live as happy together as wife and I have been these 22 years that we've been married. He who has found a wife has found a good thing, as Solomon said. A good woman is a jewel in a man's crown. An unrighteous one is water in his blood, and his blood streams his life. So an unrighteous one is the worst thing he can get a hold of. And a righteous one is the best thing he can get a hold of outside of salvation. Can you imagine? Here's the Holy Ghost, the birth of the Lord Jesus coming to the earth, giving his life on the cross. That great work that he done. And the very next thing to salvation is not an ability to make a living. It's not an ability to be a businessman. The very next thing to salvation, not your home, not your house, not what you own. The very next thing in God's eyes, right beside the Lord Jesus saving you, is your wife standing there by you. If God could have given a man a better thing than a wife, he would have given it to him.
Because God just gives His children the good things. Amen. And He gave him a wife. I'm thankful for it. And pray, tell me, how many years did Sister Meadie have after Brother Branham passed away? If Brother Branham was a mean, vile, wicked, evil person, how many years did she have to expose his sin? Notice there's nothing that God could give a man outside of salvation better than a nice wife. There is no man, no person can console a person when they're tired. They won't confide in anyone like they do their own wife. Jesus knows that himself. He can't confide in anyone like he can his own wife. That's why he tells her things that he don't tell everybody else. Well, that's another sermon. Notice this. What a fortunate thing you brothers are when you've got a nice little wife that's clean and upright and moral. And you can come home and when you're tired and weary and sit down and she can talk to you. Now listen. She can do more with you than anybody else. Of course she can if you won't let her. What's the matter, darling? Hush, you're a woman. You got my beans and taters and made her six? Yes, dear, I've got them. Have you got my teapot? Yes, dear, I do. Yes. Oh, go over and sit down, woman. Shut up. I've had a rough day. Get out of my face. You and the kids. Hush. Hard to console an alligator. I've been close to alligators and crocs. I respect that mouth. I want distance between me and them, don't you? Can you imagine a woman trying to console a man that's so bitter and so sold out on himself? Come on, children, it's the truth. And some men think, I don't need a woman. You're a liar. Unless God has made you a eunuch, you're a liar. Either that or a homosexual. Praise the Lord. Dear Jesus, you're going to get me killed. I mean, I'm wanting to come home, but not a bullet in my head. She can do more with you than anybody else. That's right. She's a jewel. She's a queen. So where is this man getting these ideas? That a woman can do more with a man, a real godly woman can do more with her husband than anybody else to concern. Where is he getting these ideas? Did Oral Roberts say this? Did this come from Billy Graham? Was it T.L. Osborne that said this? Where is he getting his ideas? He's getting it from the heart of God. Because God is whispering to him the way he feels. Angels can worship him. Zoons can worship him. Seraphims can worship him. The church nominal can worship him. But nobody can do for Jesus what the bride can. The bride can take him up on her lap. Oh, glory to God. And she can whisper things to him. Oh, my. She can make love to Jesus and begin to whisper all those things to him that is the truth and that he knows is the truth. My, one member of the bride can do more for him than 5 million of those church members out there. Why? They just don't have the same way with the Lord Jesus the bride does. Praise be to God. Notice this, in 1965, look at your nice wife, brother, and think how many man that's worth millions of dollars and loves a woman with all of his heart, and she's a barfly. He would give his cold million to have that woman love him the way your wife loves you. You mean a millionaire would trade? He would actually buy my Carol. He would want the love that she gives me by loving me, respecting me, caring for me, not flirting with other men, living a godly life. Not dressing like a Jezebel and acting like one. A man would pay me $1 million for that. What if it's worth $1 million to him? I think the price just went up. It's probably worth 10 to me. And then if he offers 10, I think I'll go up to 100. And then if he offers me 100, I think I'll go up to 1 billion. And then if he offers me that, I think I'll say, I changed my mind. I believe I'll just keep her. It sounds like to me I have a great thing here. It sounds like to me I've got a great value. Brothers, may God help us to open and look around and see what we have. And we're, oh, I ain't got this, and we're struggling about this, and we're sure we can complain about all kinds of things. But we've got so many things to be thankful for. We've got so many blessings in our lives. Treasures, treasures right in our own home. My Lord Jesus. Brother Bam said he would give his whole million to have that woman love him the way your wife loves you. Again, in power of transformation, I don't care what my wife, I respect loyalty in any woman. When I was a little boy, I always said, if a Negro woman wanted to be loyal, I would shed the last drop of my blood to keep her that way. Those of you who try to make this man a woman hater, you will be annihilated in hell. Because his own words will witness against you at the white throne. No, he said, I'm going to the rapture. You'll not be allowed to enter the rapture with such filth, calling God's prophet a liar. Come on, church, don't get quiet on me. It's time that we stand for what's right and true. If this is not worth standing for, let's get away from it. But if it's the truth, let's give our last drop of blood if necessary. Are these the words of a racist? Are these the words of a white supremacist that hated blacks? Or hated women? Now look at this. This is 1965. Martin Luther King days. The bus ride down in Alabama days. And this man, why did he say nigger? Why didn't he say any woman? Some of the blacks in the message have still got a problem. You better let this adjust your attitude as well. Brother Branham is no racist, neither is any son or daughter of God today. If you're a racist, you need the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine a white man in the 60s? And he didn't just say this in 65. He's repeating what he said when he was a boy. He would give his last drop of blood. If a black woman wanted to be true and loyal, he'd die for that black woman. This is the kind of respect, my brothers and sisters, that this message teaches to us men. And the brother said, and the sister said, thank you. See, I respect what's right, the right thing. I've tried to live by that all my life. I was a young man then and now I'm old. I haven't changed my ideas a bit. Praise the Lord. Why? He taught us respect. Can I go on? Thank you. Catholic boy come to me not long ago. His wife was separated. Oh my. You mean Brother Branham would talk to Catholics? Brother Branham would give counsel to Catholics? He said, Billy, I hate to come to you. I'm a Catholic. You're a Protestant. If he knew how Brother Branham blasted the Catholic Church, he probably would hate to come to him, wouldn't he? But he said, a priest run me out of my home a while ago. I said, what's the matter with him? He said, well, he told me I drink a little bit and said, of a night I'll work hard and my wife thinks I ought to come in every night and kiss her and hug her and make out like we're fixing to get married. Said, we're married and got a bunch of kids. I said, whoop! Don't you love those theological terms? Whoop!
You don't need the Greek or the Aramaic or the Hebrew explanation of whoop, do you? Everybody know what whoop means? Whoop! Wait a minute, boy! You're wrong. Once wasn't good enough. He says it again. You're wrong. That's just the same as it was before. You're married. Dear Lord. So you mean she wants him whenever he comes in to kiss her and hug her and all that. And the man, I'm tired. I'm a busy woman. I work like a dog all day. Say, what? I think I need to whoop some of your brothers from the looks on your face. And some of your wives are agreeing with me. They're just afraid to say anything. Go ahead and back your eyes real fast, sisters. I don't know what you're in agreement with. Praise the Lord. That's just the same as it was before you're married. It's amazing to me that young folks, when they go to dating and courting and all that, Satan will try his very best to pull them into kissing, touching inappropriately, doing things that they oughtn't to do. Some of the very things, one of the very things that they'll lose when they get married. And you wonder why. I wonder it's because they don't build their foundation on promiscuity. They build the foundation of the relationship on things that are contrary to the word. And then when they get married, they wonder why the passion is gone and the flame is gone. Could it be it's because of the way you started? That if you would have kept yourself and honored God's word, God would have helped you to keep that flame alive. Amen. Right. Well, glory. Whoop! Whoop! Come on, brothers, pucker up. Not to me. That woman of yours. Tomorrow night when you come in from work, grab her. Lay one on her. I ain't talking about this neither. My brother Donnie, she's so big I can't even get both hands around her. Have you weighed lately? Y'all meet halfway. Blow her a kiss if nothing else. If you can't touch lips, blow one. Oh, Lord. Mama. Brothers, is the parking lot freezing over? Somebody wave me down. Check the parking lot, Brother Dale. Help me get out of this. Notice he says, you must always remember she's 40 years old now at the time when she really needs your attention. Of course, the problem is she's not as pretty maybe she was when she was 20. Total silence. The people on the internet didn't even say nothing. Everybody's just the deer in the headlight look. Isn't this amazing? Brother Bram doesn't even ask the woman's side of this. He sees that the man is so wrong. Some of you men want to know why I preach so much on men? Because they're a lot of the main problem. And some of you men that won't admit it, you'll never go on and your wife will never move till you move, pal. Because she'll never live above her head in the home. You're limiting your own ability because you're focusing on her instead of saying, God, could part of the problem be me? Could part of the problem be me? Maybe it's me. I'm looking at her and I'm blaming her and I'm blaming the kids. Maybe a lot of it, well, glory, is my fault. Preach, Brother Donnie, I'm with you. I'm glad because they sure ain't nobody else don't look like. Keep patting me, would you? Now what? She said they had the divorce court and said, I don't know what to do. I said, go call her. If you go out there as a Protestant, she wouldn't receive me. He said, oh, she likes you. I said, just go call her and tell her that you've changed your mind. So the next day I called the judge and talked to him. Now remember, this is a reprobate, William Branham, supposedly. Hypocrite, liar, deceiver. But he has such influence with the judge and the mayor as they're his friends. Praise the Lord. Brother Donnie's going to get you killed. I can't think of a better way to die than stand for the truth. Praise the Lord. I'd rather stand for this than be a Baptist any day of the week. I was a Pentecostal. I wouldn't want to die for what Pentecost believes. I will die for this. I called the judge and talked to him. I told this boss, I said, I'll be sitting right down beneath the floor where the judge is going to give you a raking over. Now, this old boy, at least he had one thing about him that message men don't take. At least he's able to take the raking. And I'll be praying for you. Don't tell her about it, all right? So I was down there praying. After a while, I heard some little clicking come down the steps. Here they come with their arms around one another, all smiles, you know. And I said, well, hello there. He said, well, Brother Branham, it's been some time since I seen you. Yeah, 30 minutes. Oh, my. Can you imagine a prophet of God taking time out of his busy schedule for message people to counsel a Catholic? Concerned about a Catholic boy's marriage, that he would go sit underneath the steps and pray for him. Why? He loved humanity. He didn't just love Branham Tabernacle. He didn't just love the people that followed his message. He loved people. I think many of us need to fall in love with people. Whether they're black, white, red, yellow, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Methodist people, we love them. Not their sin, not what they do is wrong. And she said, why, Reverend Branham, I haven't seen you in a long time. Glad to see you again. I said, thank you. You look like your sweethearts. Oh, we're just doing fine, aren't we, honey? And how was they doing fine? Because Elijah had given this man a remedy to fix his marriage. Hugs, kisses. Let her know you love her and you still need her. Wonder where the bullwhip was. Wonder where the outdoor. Bless God, woman. I'm the head of this house. You fool me. I'll grab my coat and blow your brains out. You're not even fit to have a wife. You need to be in jail somewhere. You psychopaths. Leave your psychopaths and come to the way of life. Friends, if God's prophet would give this man this little bit of advice and save his marriage, what about all these scriptures and these quotes that we've heard tonight? Whether or not you want to acknowledge it and believe it, there has been enough truth said right here tonight to save multitudes of marriages. There's been enough said right here in this last 50 minutes, 6 feet, whatever long I've been preaching, to save marriages all around this message. But it won't do a bit of good if people don't apply it. Let me close. Oh, you look like sweethearts. Oh, we're doing just fine, aren't we, honey? She said, yes, we are, dear. She said, come out and see us sometime, Reverend. Boy, she must have really got a hold of something, didn't she? A cassock inviting Elijah over to her house. This guy must have really had a transformation. The words of Elijah had such impact upon this man. Now she's inviting Elijah to come over. Glory. Oh, my. I said, thank you very much. Goodbye to you. Went by and the old boy turned around and waved back like that. They was all happy. Let me close with this. Of course, in Exodus 64, somebody at the tabernacle asked Brother Ram, they're going through something. Just to cut the quote down a little bit so it wouldn't be so long. He said, if there's something that you've done that's wrong, that's bothered you, then check it with the Bible and see what you must do. But if you haven't done anything, you're not condemned of anything, it's perhaps your nerves. It could be many things that's happened. The person's trying to pray and they can't get through to God. And they don't know what's going on. So he kind of approaches it this way and that way. And then he gets a little direction and says, Could be many things happening. Maybe some trouble in your life. Maybe it's a woman here. Might be menopause. Everything is wrong with her. And there's nothing wrong with her. Yet everything's wrong with her, and she's not putting it on. She really feels that. It's just as real. Any person that's nervous is that way. And don't never disagree. And you husbands to your wives, when they're in that time of life, if she ever was your sweetheart, let her be right then. Because she needs you. Oh, you mean you're not supposed to divorce her and just get rid of her and get a new one? Get one about half her age? Because you can't handle all that trouble and can't handle all that stress? Oh, you didn't say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for fatter, for skinnier, for gray hair, for bald head, for false teeth, for glasses, for contacts or cataracts, whichever comes first, and for all these things that we didn't realize. And you're standing looking at that pretty young girl, and she's standing looking at that fine, handsome young man. My, if you could have really gone down the road and realized he's a bubble. He's level in the middle, you know, out in this way. And she's standing there, gained 150 pounds or so, and her teeth has fell out, which come right after yours fell out. She can't see no more. Brother Homer Longoria, tell me not long ago, Sister Margie got this affliction and that affliction. Brother Homer can't hear, and Sister Margie can't see. He said, you put us together. We're a pretty good combination. He said, but you separate us, and we're in a mess. So you realize, you look at it, the things that goes wrong. My, I didn't know I'd be that way. I didn't know she'd be that way. No, neither did she know you'd look that way either. But remember, God, the love of God in our hearts helps us beyond the human part. But what are many marriages based upon? Selfishness. What I want, when I want it, the way I want it. She really needs your help. She needs somebody to help her and understand her. Talk to her. Take her up in your arms like she was your sweetheart. And she should be. And understand her. You imagine, never a man of God that has lived down through the ages was allowed to preach the mysteries that went out of this man's mouth. And yet he would have to teach us men how to romance our wives. Because she's going through a time that her entire makeup is changing. And you must be good to her at that time. I think that's why Mr. Rockefeller made a fatal mistake. He was loved by the nation, would probably have been our next president. But when his wife took menopause, and went in menopause, and he left her and married his secretary. You see what happened? That shows there's some real good thinking Americans yet. Of course, all them good thinking Americans has died. Because today they said, he's the man, he's the man. You know why they want a president and Congress and all that? So sorry, matches them. Well, they want a godly man? No, it won't match them. So they want a liar, a hypocrite, a deceiver? Come on now. That's why they vote that type in. And the church said, amen. Let's stand. Y'all's hand clap started out like Brother Bram's old Ford. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought. Oh my. Don't you appreciate his word? Brothers, you may not be there yet, but don't you let nothing stop you from being there. Sisters, be these kind of wives that the brothers can treat you this way. If you live a filthy, dirty life, you sisters, you want to dress like Jezebels? You want to be unclean and sexually impure and immoral? Don't expect your husband to have respect for you. And don't expect me to respect you. If you dress like a whore, I'm going to talk to you like one. And if you live like a whore, expect me to call you a whore. If you snout like a hog, and you smell like a hog, and you look like a hog, don't expect me to call you a saint. Praise the Lord. So if you want respect, live in a way we can respect you. Brothers, live in a way that little wife of yours can respect you as a servant of God. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I am so grateful that these things have been said
Lord, you knew that the beginning of the gospel, almost 2,000 years ago, when Paul began to write these things, it must have been such a difficult transition for so many of the men. They had been used to treating their wives with a little bit more respect than an animal. As a matter of fact, history tells us some of their horses and their prized animals were treated with greater respect than the wife. If a wife burnt the bread, some of the men would divorce her. If she raised her voice to him or to his mother or father, she would be divorced. And these were Jews, the Pharisees. This is the teaching Peter came out of and John. So it's no wonder you had to begin to teach them on marriage and divorce. Lord, I pray you would help us men in this message. I know some of these men have sat under the men who looked at women as basically nothing but a place to gratify their sexual appetite. And the women were treated low and debased. The Lord Jesus, no true Son of God, looks at his wife in that way. She's more than a place to gratify the sexual desire. She is his queen. For when there is no more sex, when there is no more children, when there is no more reproduction, we will be mates in eternity together. So that outweighs the human part. Lord, I pray you would help us men to love our wives, not only with the human part, but with the superhuman part, the supernatural element. May they hear this well, Lord. There is not a man in this world that can love a woman as well as can a Son of God who's born by this word. The men in the denomination, the men who have left this message, there is no way they can love their wives in the right way. Oh, some of them think they're loving them because they're letting them do this and that and the other. A man that would let his wife cut off her hair and cause her to miss the rapture, how can he say he is loving her? A man that would allow his wife to put on shorts and breeches, dress ungodly, or put indecent pictures of herself up on Facebook or whatever more. People in the message putting up beach pictures and all kinds of stuff of them dressed indecent. How can a Son of God allow that for his wife or daughters, causing them to miss the rapture and say he loves them? Help us, Lord. Help us to assume our responsibility as the men that we ought to be. Not dictators, not to hate our wives, our daughters, but to love them and honor them and respect them, Lord. I love myself. I love my body. I feed it. I nurture it. It's a built-in mechanism in all of us. If someone were to hit us in the face, a hand would fly up. If someone stops in front of us in an automobile, 3/4 of a second, they say, we react and we hit the brake or we swerve. It's built in us to protect ourselves. Then, Lord, I love myself so much, I will not allow my body to take me to hell. I love my soul more than that. So I will make my body obey the word. And I love my wife so much, if my wife started to rebel against this word, I love her so much, I would stand between her and hell and say, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. I will not allow you to go to hell. I will not allow you without doing everything I can to stop you. Lord, help these men to realize they can have a great ability. If a Catholic boy could save his marriage on a few words from Elijah, what can these men do in their homes? Help us, Lord Jesus. Help me to be a better man. Help me to be a better husband, Lord God. Would you grant it, Lord? How many of your brothers here tonight? Married, let's deal with you first, the married ones. You'd say, I want to be a better husband. Your brothers, you got children, I want to be a better father, grandfather. Now you young brothers that aren't married,
that plan on getting married, looking for a wife, or maybe you're at that stage. You say, Brother Donnie, I'm not married, but when I get married, I want to be this kind of man. You brothers, raise your hand to God. God bless you. Oh, my, I wish when I'd have got married as a young man, I'd had this teaching set before me. No doubt I'd have spared my wife a lot of grief, Brother Jerry, a lot of difficulty, a lot of heartbreak. Oh, my, I'm sure sorry, Carol, for any disappointment, any kind of letting down I've done. Forgive me. Oh, my. Lord Jesus, make us better men. Make us better women, these sisters. The married ones, the single ones. Help these single sisters, Lord, looking for a boyfriend. Help them, Lord, to look wisely. Let them notice how that boyfriend treats his mother, his sisters. How he even treats her. Does he ridicule her? Does he laugh at her, make fun of her? If he does that now when they're dating or talking, what will he do once he's married to her? Help her sisters to be wise. And many of them, Lord, have overrode that something and they went ahead and married somebody. And they treat them like a dog. And they have to live in that state the rest of their life simply because they overrode them signs. Help them, Lord. They'd be better off to wait. They'd be better off to wait 2 years, 3 years, 5 years and get that man that's a godly man than to settle for some sorry outfit that ain't fit to be their husband. Maybe a wife beater, one that runs around. Help them to see, Lord, that a man that ain't got nothing but sex on his mind, if he don't ever have a new birth and really change by the power of God, he'll be that way all his life. He may lose his young state and go past his 20s and 30s, but he'll be that same way his whole life unless he really gets changed. He'll bring her a life of hell. Help him, Lord, to wait and search for a godly man. A man of character and integrity that'll treat her as a queen, honor her, respect her. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. It's still a marvel to me, my Lord, that you could look down here at us, creatures of time, and treat us with honor and respect in our fallen state as we were. We love you, Lord Jesus.
I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. You are my everything. You're the reason I sing. I love you. My Lord,
once again,
I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart. I do, Lord Jesus, everything. Lord, you're the reason the bride sings. I love you.
Once again, before we go, let's sing it together. Amen.
Oh, I love you, my Lord, with all of my heart.
Yes, Lord Jesus,
you're the reason the bride sings. I love you.
God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. See you this weekend.
I love.
Be careful going out. There's some slick spots on the road in the parking lot.
With all of